America leads the world in medicine development. It matters. We get new medicines first, nearly 3 years faster. 5 million Americans go to work because we make medicines here at home. And not relying on other countries keeps us safe. But China is racing to overtake us. Will we let them, or will we choose to stay ahead? When America leads, America cures. Let's tell Washington to keep us in the lead.
Learn how at americacures.com. Paid for by Pharma.
Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed, "I found nirvana! I win!" They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $200 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Can't get enough of the fan in the morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Working.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's post-game podcast.
Hey, it's nice to have you with us. It's a Wednesday podcast for you, Al and Jerry. What's going on?
Oh, hi there, Jerry. I was trying to think of this. Now, this would be for non-life-threatening things.
Okay.
So, non-life-threatening.
Non-life-threatening.
No cancers, no tumors, none of that stuff.
Okay.
Which body parts would you most not want something bad to go wrong with you as far as a health situation?
Why were you thinking of this?
I'm not sure. But I was thinking about...
Well, okay.
I was thinking about, like... Like, would I rather have something wrong with my heart that's not life-threatening, but I've got some sort of heart condition?
That's scary stuff.
Or, like, something inside my penis hole. Like, I'd probably pick the heart. I'd probably choose to have a heart condition.
Yes, maybe. I would tell you, though, when you start to have issues and you're seeing a urologist once a month.
Yeah.
And going to the bathroom becomes a problem.
Yeah.
And while it may not be life-threatening, you could end up with a catheter. Or,
yeah.
That's a tough way to go through life, too.
No, I'm saying that one I would pick less. Like, I would least want to have something wrong with my penis.
Right. Well, you initially said heart.
No, I'm saying I would choose
oh,
the...
Oh, I see.
I would choose to rather have something... excuse me, Jerry. I would choose to rather have something wrong with my heart than my penis.
It's a hard one to answer because if you've got a heart condition... I think you feel like you're walking on eggshells every day.
Yeah.
Even though the doctor may say it's not life-threatening. But the other one is really a... And the other one, too, would be... I mean, I guess it is life-threatening, but when you start dealing with the brain...
Yeah, that seemed life-threatening. I'm talking non-life-threatening. Like, if I said to you, listen, Jerry, you're going to have either an issue with your penis or your...
Or your prostate.
Or your butthole. Like, which would you choose?
I don't want a problem with any of them.
No, I know we don't want any problems, but I'm saying if you had a pick, like I'm saying, like I would choose to have a heart condition over a penis or butt condition because I feel like those are really, like you said,
everyday life.
You're going to the doctors. They're looking. They're wanting to put things in your penis hole. They're wanting to.
I've been there, done that.
I will say the thing I am desperately trying to get through life without ever having to experience is a catheter. In my penis.
I know.
That's all I want to get through in life.
Sounds just terrible. And I feel bad for guys that deal with that.
Because when I went to have my, I have had two hernia surgeries, one on each side of my wiener. And the doctor said, you know, we either do it the regular way, surgery, where you're going to have a scar, or we do it arthroscopically. He said, but to do it arthroscopically, you do have to have a catheter because we have to collapse your bladder. I was like, no, I'd rather you put a scar across my forehead than get a catheter.
Yeah, I hear you. And I imagine with the surgery, you were knocked out.
Yes.
And so then you wake up and then you're just dealing with the recovery.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, Jerry, now that I have two scars down there, I feel like I'm some sort of man. Like
I have two scars down
like
there.
Like I've been through a
prison. Some guys have one. You have two.
I have two. I have one on each side. It looks like I have two. It looks like, Jerry, this is a guy who's penis has been through things.
Well, and
surgery, but
as we've learned, it really hasn't been. Or it didn't until you were 23.
22,
I'm sorry. Which Maybe is fine, by the way. Yeah, I probably would tend to agree with what you're saying.
Yeah. Like, the penis is the one thing, like, man, I just don't want to have to.
The one thing is very interesting, because of me discussing openly the prostate issue I've had and the nighttime urination situation, the amount of guys that have reached out via either on social media. I've gotten a lot of emails to my Recco Sports account on Gmail. It's amazing how many guys are dealing with this. And I'll tell you another one, too, because I got a couple today. One guy sent me a private message just thanking me for, you know, sharing. And I've had a lot of people thanking me for sharing. But this guy in particular was like, you have no idea how bad this has been for me. And I'm going to give it a try. And I hope it works. I have no idea if it will or not. But it's amazing. You think everyone's walking around and they're fine.
Yeah.
How many people are really dealing with some sort of, you know, personally, I mean, family stuff is family stuff. But how many people are personally dealing with their own health issue? And you really have no, like, I know Boomer said he's fine. We have no idea. We're not with him every day. We think G's fine. Eddie, who the hell knows? You know, and puts a mask on to sleep, which I'm sure we probably need at some point, too, with the snoring. But someone's dealing with something everywhere.
Yeah, I oftentimes think about, like, the human body and all the things that are inside of it that have to work together. And then if one thing stops working.
Well, so then now it comes back to, while you can't prevent everything, I think sometimes things just do happen. You come back to the diet again and what we're eating and drinking and the air we're breathing and how we live our life and the sleep deprivation. And, you know, all these things seem to work together. But the one thing, what was I reading this morning? Oh, God. They're finding that the more ultra-processed food you're having, they're finding a serious link to dementia, which is why, because obviously the production of ultra-processed foods has increased dramatically over the last 30 or 40 years, so has dementia and Alzheimer's. And they're starting to find a lot of links between things of that nature. And, you know, it goes back to trying to eat clean and as best you can and eliminating as much crap as you possibly can.
Sleep is weird that you, every day we have to shut it down.
To recharge.
Yeah. And you don't know where those hours go. You know what I mean?
You're
like, you're
sleeping.
You can't account for those hours.
No, you can't. Your body's resting. What do they say? If you sleep properly, that means 33% of your life is in the dark.
Yeah.
Like, you don't live 33% of your life. You're just sleeping through it, which is like, if you think about that, if you live till 90, 30 years of your life was spent sleeping.
Yeah. How about that?
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Because now for us, it'll only be about 5 years of our life spent sleeping.
Correct. Yeah, it's just weird that we, every night we disappear from our lives and our brains for however many hours you do that for.
5, 6, 7, 8, 9, whatever it is.
And you're just gone.
Yeah. I like my phone this morning. So I slept, I told you when I was in Maryland this weekend, I slept 10 hours each night. And then Sunday night, not great. I slept 5 hours. Last night, maybe 6. And when I woke up, my phone, this is the first time this happened with my Samsung watch. It started buzzing. I looked down, what the hell? Who's calling me? And I looked down, it was the health app on my phone attached to my watch. And it said, lay down, you've got 3 more hours to go.
Oh, because you got up.
Because I got up in 5 hours and like 20 minutes. I forgot, I didn't sleep much last night. And I didn't fall asleep quickly. It said, you need to sleep. That's what it was. Lay down, you need to sleep 3 more hours. Like, well,
you're like, I got to go to work.
Like, in 3 hours, I will have already done a 1 hour talk show. So that's not going to happen.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
It's a scary reminder, though, of how little we sleep.
Yeah.
Which is not good.
Yeah.
Not good.
I also am amazed that we know how to, like, that we can make babies. Like, a human comes out with all of the internal parts.
Yeah.
Well, like, all those pieces.
That's why people call it a miracle. That it all actually, and now for some people, it doesn't work out, and you feel horrible for those. But for the masses, for the most part, yes, there are a lot more healthy babies born than unhealthy babies. And it is fascinating. You are correct.
You go bing, bang, boom, you're pregnant.
Yeah. And then it grows inside.
It grows inside. Then you give birth, and this human being comes out, and it has lungs and a heart and a stomach and a wiener, if it's a boy, Jerry.
Yeah, sure.
And a butt and a brain.
And little legs and feet.
And little feet and fingers.
Mm-hmm. That was the one thing that got me, I would say, when my older son was born, was holding him was wild for sure. But when you hold him, it's, you know, he's wrapped in a blanket and, you know, it's when you then see him in the, I forget what it's called, but when they take the baby back to sleep and to feed it that first night, or at least those first few hours it's awake, and you can go down and look through the glass and look at it, and you're looking at the little feet and the tiny little hands, then you get it home and you change it for the first time, and like you're holding, and it, the baby is like, I don't even know if they can look at that a week old, but their eyes are just like, holy crap, like, wow. It is. It's like it's a little person. It's crazy. Yeah.
And you could, if you act like you don't want to accidentally crush your baby's hand.
No, you do not. You know, I have never held a baby other than my own.
I'm trying to think. I've definitely held my sister's kids.
I did not.
But I
have.
Hold them very like,
right.
Like a weirdo. Like so I just have them.
Because you don't want them to fall.
I sit on the couch. And okay. then I have a baby laid in my hands.
All right.
My
so that
arms.
Doesn't count. So that would be the only other time my, when my niece, who's my goddaughter, when she was born, that I had to take a photo holding her for the christening.
Yeah.
I'm like, no. So like, all right, well, sit down. We'll place her in your arms. Just take a picture. And that's what I did. It's the only baby, a newborn I've ever held.
I get worried about babies. Because their necks are not formed
yeah,
yet.
Yeah, I hear you.
Like, it's I'll hold scary. The baby when they have a full
yeah.
functioning neck.
Right, that's when they're three.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. I know what you're saying, though. It's so, like, it feels so brittle. I know. Yeah. Not it's fully formed.
It's also weird. Like, I have a picture. My one sister had twins, boy and a girl.
Okay.
And the girl really only went to my sister mm-hmm. and my mother. My two sisters and the mother. That's okay. all the girl would go to when she was little. So the boy, since they were twins, the boy, anyone could feed the boy because...
and I have not as fussy.
Not as fussy. And I have a picture where I have the boy's tiny head in my hand
yeah.
and I'm feeding him a bottle. And I look pretty much what I look like now. I have hair, but I look... That baby is 27 years old and working in New York City.
Yeah. Well, how do you think your mom feels? Her baby is 57 years old and driving into New York City every day and is on television.
Oh, yeah.
No, but, you know, I think about it, too, the passage of time.
Yeah.
You know, as I look now and see, I know Gio is significantly younger. I mean, I think he's 10 years younger than me, so it all aligns properly when you look at the ages. But I also look at him as the same age. I don't feel like he's 10 years younger. And he's going through now with his kids what I went through 10, 15 years ago. And it's just weird to think that, you know, it's all just, like he talks about T-ball and flag football, like it's just starting for him. I just finished it. And it is weird. Like, my guys are like men now.
Yeah.
It is. It's different. It's very, and being a parent is very different now. At 21, you really don't parent all that much anymore. I mean, he can walk out anytime he wants. The 16-year-old, obviously, you still deal with things. But, yeah, they're like, they're dudes. They're not little kids anymore.
You tell yourself, no one wants your college-era band tees. But on Depop, people are searching for exactly what you've got. You once paid a small fortune for them at merch stands. Now, a teenager who calls them vintage will offer that same small fortune back. Sell them easily on Depop. Just snap a few photos and we'll take care of the rest. Who knew your questionable music taste would be a money-making machine? Your style can make you cash. Start selling on Depop, where taste recognizes taste.
Oh, it's a really weird one. I've heard Joe Rogan talk about this. Like, if you see somebody who is homeless mm-hmm. or somebody who is really down on their luck, and he'll say, like, that was somebody's baby.
Yeah.
And that's like, what the hell happened?
That's someone's son, daughter,
right.
brother, sister. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, but
mom
at some point.
Mom or dad.
But at some point, that was a little baby.
Yeah. And had life in front of them.
Yeah. And like, what the hell happened?
Yeah, unfortunately, I think, and we've certainly discussed it enough on this program, on the show, like things like, not everyone has a Diana Rossini, Mike Vrabel story, but there's a lot of crap that happens in people's lives. And I think it's very difficult for people to get up the next day and kind of go on, business as usual. I know every time heals all wounds and every day should be a little bit better than the last one, but it's hard to get to that point for a lot of people.
Also, when you're a baby, like, it's weird too, like if an animal has a baby, like if a deer that we see on the side of the road running around on the parkway, like that deer has a baby. That baby deer knows what to do, like right away.
Instinctually.
Yeah, like gets up and walks around and then goes, starts eating. And like, and humans, we're supposed to be so much higher up the food chain.
Takes between 9 months, maybe eight to nine months and like a year and a half for some to walk.
Yeah, like we can't just give birth to a baby and have it be like, figure out how to get your food, baby.
Well, they don't, so it's kind of like a dog, like a puppy or a kitten. They age much faster and they develop much faster than a human does. And maybe that's why we're smarter. It takes longer for the brain to develop as part of the newborn to infant stages.
Yeah.
Possibility.
Do you think a baby knows to...
No.
Hold on, to suck on the mother's boobie?
No, I think the baby's hungry.
But the baby doesn't know, like, if the baby sees a boob, that's where I'm supposed to get
my boob.
We're
talking about an infant, right? We're not talking about a two-year-old that's still breastfeeding.
I'm
not being funny. I'm being serious. I don't think with all my friends, I don't ever remember an infant reaching for a teat, as you will.
Yeah.
I don't know that I've ever seen that. Now, I have seen the breastfeeding shirts come down, and you bring the baby and nestle them up against the breast to do what they have to do. It's kind of like with the bottle. You're putting the nipple part of the bottle into the mouth. They're not reaching for it. Yeah. Until they get to be a little bit older.
But sometimes a baby will reach up to grab a bottle like this.
What age? Right. If you're talking a few months, for sure. Yeah, once they start to become more limber and active. But when you're talking a couple weeks old, not a chance.
Like if you had just on the parkway, New Jersey Parkway, and a deer gave birth to a baby deer and a human gave birth to a baby human, and then both... the deer mother and the adult mother, like person mother, left, that baby deer is going to survive.
Yes. The infant would not.
Yeah, but we're supposed to be so much more advanced.
Again, it takes longer to develop. We are. We live long. You want to be you want to be a baby deer that lives for 6 years, gets hit by a car?
No, I do not.
Okay.
Definitely.
Or you'd rather be an infant that will take a little bit longer to develop, grow into an adult, and might live for 90 years.
But probably in that very beginning, the deer is like, I'm superior to this baby.
In the beginning, it is. And then what winds up happening is that human gets a gun and shoots the deer.
Right. The baby's like, right now, you can fend for yourself. I cannot. But give me about 17 years.
Now who's superior?
I will bow hunt you right on the side of this parkway.
Yeah. Plus, I mean, you talk about them running in the way of cars. They're not bright.
Yeah, they're not bright.
But they do develop physically. And have an instinction or have instincts that allow them to mature faster. Same way, like a puppy, you watch these puppies that are these beautiful little animals, and then you go back 2 months later and they're like fully grown.
Yes.
What the hell?
Yeah, and I wonder, I don't even recall, because we have had puppies growing up when I was a kid. But like a puppy... Like, do you realize how fast it's growing or not because you see the puppy every day?
I think you'd have to take no, you wouldn't see it every day because you're looking at it every day.
Yeah.
But I think if you took a photograph of it every day and in 30 or 40 or 50 days, clearly it'll be maybe fully grown, if not close to at that point, you'll see it, but you'll see the progression. You're not going to notice it every day. The same way I didn't notice my kids getting bigger.
Right. Like your kids probably grew 6 inches in 1 year. Or 2 year period, right?
Probably.
Isn't there like when a...
I know my younger son went from like 5'7" to 6 foot in like a summer.
Yeah, in a summer.
And you don't see it. It's like all of a sudden you wake up like, when the hell did you become a full head taller than me? It's nuts. You don't see it.
They also say this, Jerry. You don't realize it, but there's a time where you last pick up your child.
Oh, for sure. And there's a last catch that you have with your child. And there's a last ever. I think about that all the time, actually.
But the last picking up of the child is an interesting one.
I suppose.
You know?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I
you could go home today and go, let me pick you up and carry you up the steps.
I could. I could absolutely go home and pick. I'm going to pick you up one more time.
Yeah, one more time.
But you're right. And I don't know the answer to that. I don't remember the last time I picked up my kids as not infants, but smaller children.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was. I will tell you too. Part of my back problems came from holding them in places like Disney World or wherever, and you realize like you're carrying around like 20 pounds or 20, like, and then you're standing there. Not easy at all. Very taxing on your back.
This is why we have to be young to have children. It is also weird that like the peak time to have children would be like physically when you're like 18, 19 years old.
Yeah.
But our society isn't built for 18 and 19
You're not financially, it's very difficult in the expensive times we're living. And I don't even know at 18 or 19 you're mature enough in this day and age, especially with the way society is, like you point out, and you're not even through college. If you are going to college, like you need, we've talked about the expenses of life. How the hell are you affording that at 18 years old? And people do it.
Yeah.
They clearly, I imagine they move in with their parents and they do what they have to do. But I could not, we had my older son, I was 30 and I felt not mature enough.
Oh, for sure.
I was close, but I was like, are we really sure we're doing this? I always told you, when the nurse was like, all right, you guys go home. I'm like, are you coming? I don't know what to do.
Will there be a nurse meeting us at the home?
No, you'll figure it out. Uh-oh. Okay. And we did. And we did.
Did you buy the Dr. Spock book, that the baby Dr. Spock? Not the Dr. Spock from Star Trek, but Dr. Spock was a
what
baby.
What to expect when you're expecting and then what to expect.
Yeah, one of those. Yeah,
my wife, Kim had them. For
like a reference book.
Yeah, she had them. I don't know how much she used them.
Yeah.
As much as she might have called her mom or my mom or just figured it out. Our doctor was great. She would, you know, they would get on the phone with us if there was an issue.
You can't find a user's manual online for your baby.
There is no user manual. The most frustrating thing about being a parent to a newborn or a baby that is not yet talking is the not understanding what's wrong with them. And what they need, why they won't stop crying. Luckily, we had very few bouts of that. But I've seen friends go through it where doesn't want to eat, doesn't need to be changed, doesn't want to take a nap. Like, what do you want? Tell me.
Tell me,
baby. That's why
I've
always said, and it sounds harsh, but I mean it. And I think a lot of dads would probably agree. The women don't seem to agree with me, which is fine. The first year is brutal. Like, it's just not fun. It's amazing. It's unbelievable. It's hard to even imagine that you helped create this thing. You love it to death. It's not fun. Until they're communicating and until they're moving around, like people are like, oh my God, they're walking. I loved it. I loved when my guys started walking. It was phenomenal. Yeah, I chased them around. You're damn right I did. With a bat and a ball and like whatever. It was fun. But until they can communicate just a little bit, like, you know, do they have a headache? How would you know? Is it their teeth? Are they teeth? Oh my God, was it brutal. Did not like that at all.
And then how about when we get really old, we revert back to like a baby?
Well, this just got depressing.
No, I'm just saying like you use a walker when you're a baby and then you use a walker when you get really old.
Yeah, if you're not capable, sure.
And you wear diapers as a baby, you might get to a point in old age have to wear diapers. You're in them now.
I'm kidding.
Hard to communicate maybe when you get really old.
It could be, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You eat Cheerios again. Cheerios is a food that you could eat your entire life.
Yes.
Babies get given Cheerios. Old people like Cheerios. College-age kids like Cheerios.
Cheerios is the one cereal that I just can't believe is bad for you. I know it's not. I know it's not good for you.
Right.
I'm well aware. I see the ingredient. It's nothing.
Feels like nothing.
I don't understand. That, and I don't know if you ever ate this growing up, but this was the go-to in my family, which I have always thought was like superior to cereal. Total,
yeah.
I thought
it had all vitamins in it.
Yes, I thought that was like the holy grail of cereal. And for a period of like 5 years, that was all I ate was Total with a banana and blueberries.
And you're like, look at me killing it.
Yes, I really thought there was a period where I went through where I was eating Total for breakfast and lunch and then a low-calorie dinner. Now, the dinner was pastas. I didn't know back in the, who knew?
Yeah, we didn't know.
Didn't know what I was doing. But I will tell you, I lost weight. Because as bad as it was for me, I was cutting out a garbage lunch with, which is very, I know it's calorie dense, but it's light. I did lose weight.
Also thought grape nuts would be good for you.
Never had it.
I don't think I've ate grape nuts either. Mm. But when I started looking at food ingredients and things, grape nuts was no good either, which is
well,
so
is there
weird.
A cereal that's actually healthy?
There's some brands now. There's a brand called Lovebird.
Okay, but what we like
when we grew up, no.
Kellogg's,
no,
they
no,
don't
no,
make a...
No.
So like Raisin Bran, no good no loaded good. With sugar.
Yes.
Right, of course.
Yeah.
And I like Raisin Bran.
Yeah.
Wheaties, no good
no
loaded
good.
With sugar.
Right.
Cheerio, Honey Nut Cheerios, garbage.
Garbage.
All right. Lucky Charms.
Only did, Lucky Charms was good for you.
I did love Fruity Pebbles growing up.
Me too.
I mean.
That was my when I was like a little kid, Fruity Pebbles.
Me too, like 25. Love Fruity Pebbles. And Cocoa Pebbles.
Yep.
Cocoa Puffs were good.
Fruity Pebbles.
God, all of them. And we used to.
Turn your
we
milk.
Were a big cereal family.
Yeah.
Never oatmeal. Cereal.
Yeah, my family was not a big cereal family, but I was a big cereal person. Like okay. My sisters, I don't recall eating cereal, but I used to eat.
Yeah.
I was big on the Fruity Pebbles, Cocoa Pebbles, Lucky Charms.
Yeah.
As an adult, Lucky Charms.
Yes.
I could eat three gigantic
so
bowls of Lucky Charms.
I could
Lucky
do it when
Charms.
I go home today.
Yeah.
What about Golden Grahams?
No, I never got into Golden Grahams.
I didn't either until I got married. That was one of my wife's favorite cereals. I got to tell you, pretty good because when you first start eating it, crunchy as hell. Then there's a phase where it's part crunchy, part soft, and then it's completely soft and you feel like you're eating oatmeal. It's like a three-phase cereal. Pretty good.
Yeah, I didn't even have like Captain Crunch until I was in my late 30s.
Captain Crunch berries.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That here. Was good.
Like, why is that bad for us?
I don't know.
Why can't it be okay?
They need to make that okay for us.
God darn it.
Give me some Captain Crunch.
There used to be a, so this used to be the breakfast. And I don't mean like a little, like a bowl.
A big bowl.
A big bowl of cereal and then rye toast. I mean, really carb load.
would you load it with butter?
Butter or, I wouldn't do both, butter or jelly.
Mm.
So that would be breakfast, and I'd feel, I'm ready to go. You fat bastard, of course you are.
Part of a well-balanced breakfast.
Oh, my God. Or not. And then a large drink of orange juice. Holy
right,
crap.
Straight sugar.
Oh. Wow. Unreal.
All right, Jerry, let's do the warm-up program. Now, we'll be back tomorrow on a Thursday, will we not?
Yeah.
We will be back
this
here.
This is what I'm told.
On a Thursday.
Eddie's off again Friday.
Yeah. I know. Huh. He's really scamming us.
We're 3 weeks away now.
I like it. Mm. Which means we're 3 weeks away from Memorial Day, which is
that
pretty
is
cool.
That is true. Very good point.
All right, Jerry, warm-up is next. So!